Welcome to the Dairy Township Board of Supervisors meeting on September 28th, 2001. Mr. Chrisman, if you would please call the roll to get us started.
I'm going to open up the pledge first.
Oh, I have the pledge second, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Pledge the roll.
Let's pledge, okay.
Sorry.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're too excited to get the meeting started. Okay, if you wouldn't mind, please call the roll.
Absolutely. Supervisor Zaruda?
Here.
Supervisor Corey?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Whitehawk?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo is absent this evening, so there are four present, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, that brings us to our first order of business, and that is the visitor and public comment period. Just a reminder that all public sessions of the Township of Dairy Board of Supervisors are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. Speakers are asked to state their name, their address, and keep their comments under 3 minutes. So if there's anyone here that would like to offer public comment for the record, please come forward. Okay. Seeing no residents in the audience that would like to place comments on the public record, we will move on to the consent calendar. So on this evening's consent calendar, we have the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes from September 14th, 2021, as well as the approval of the accounts payable in the amount of $999,168.88 and payroll of $319,933.05. Is there a motion to adopt this evening's consent calendar?
I'll go ahead and make the motion to adopt items A and B on the consent calendar.
A motion made by Supervisor Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Supervisor Zaruda. Is there any comments or discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, moving on to our first order of new business, and we have an update from Waste Management. Mr. Stang, if you would please approach the podium for the update. Thank you.
Thanks for having me tonight. I do want to bring you up to date, and for any residents in the meeting or recording, just to share with you some of the issues that Waste Management's been dealing with. I know the township has been receiving, and the board as well, calls about service delays and collection pickups, and we're well aware of it. Chris and I keep in good contact, Tom and I in his office keeping good contact on what's going on. Primarily, the issues that we've been struggling with have been tied to labor-related issues, staffing, illnesses, some injuries, and during some of these months of the summer, there was actually scheduled vacation times where people were out and we had to shift people around. So a little bit of everything that's affected us on the streets. Primarily, we've been struggling with the yard waste collections. We've been looking at a priority of getting the municipal solid waste off the streets first with our staffs, our drivers, our loaders, our helpers, recycling second, and sadly a distant third is yard waste. As a matter of fact, this week right now is our yard waste, I'll say our yard waste being a resident of the township as well, our yard waste collection, and we have not had a truck in the township yet. So none of the Monday route or the Tuesday route has been started. Tomorrow I will have a truck in the route, and we look to have it completed by Friday of this week, caught up by Friday of this week. We run 27 routes out of our Camp Hill Hauling Company, and again, it's a staffing issue. If I lose a regular driver, we still run into problems where a route may not be completed. If a regular driver is out, and I bring a substitute driver in, those substitute drivers don't move the routes as well or as thorough. There could be pockets that they don't hit, a back cul-de-sac or a back road or something of that sort. We do run into some problems with that. Communication is an area that we've addressed, but probably not to the satisfaction of the township. I think not to my satisfaction anyway, that when we know a route is not going to run, we go through a series of communications with it to get calls out. You know, since this is an individually billed municipal contract, we have all the data and information of all the residents. It's not as if it were a community where it was a one bill to the township and you had all that contact information. Sadly though, we don't have always good data in the system. People, for example, may go from a landline to a cell phone and get rid of their landline, but never get us updated in our systems. We have about a 78% success ratio when we do our robocalls that do go out to get the folks. When we know a route is not going to be completed, when we know a route is not going to be run, that call is to go out to the residents to inform them ahead of time. I was on the website earlier today, and maybe it was 3 weeks ago, that we had a Wednesday route for trash. We weren't able to get any driver at all, and we had to get communication out that we were not going to pick up that route, and really the best way to impact the fewest number of people was to push that route completely to double up the next week. Now that notification I see is on the website, and I'm not sure, Chris, who we could get to maybe take that down and just up, you know, what I would like to put up there if we can, and I can help with some language. But for yard waste, we encourage the residents to leave the yard waste out, not to pull it back in. If we can get the message out that we will collect it, we are behind schedule, we will get it collected. Some folks have a tendency of feeling like they're not going to get picked up, they pull it back in, and then when I can free up a route to come into the township to get a pocket of the whatever area it might be, they may have already pulled it in, I finally have somebody going down the street to get it. So I'd like to continue to work together as we have for many years jointly and communicate that. And if you could help, us a little bit with the route, with putting that on the website. As a company, we're dealing with it throughout the country. Other waste industry haulers are dealing with it, and other trucking industries, and everyone, anywhere we go, we're all looking for folks to come to work. We have done things as a company to incentivize folks to come to work for us, to stay on board with us. We have, if a driver comes on board, or an employee comes on board and starts out on the back of a truck, we will train them to get their CDLs. We have a $7,500 sign-on bonus to come to work for us that's paid over a period of time, and we incentivize employees to bring someone in, recommendations for that. We also have a new program where we are providing $12,000 a year to employees for further education, for either their personal education or for a member of their family. And come 2022, we're going to extend that to any member of a family that's at the after high school level if they want a further education. So a husband, a wife, and a child or two, you know, that we feel will be very helpful. So there are corporate steps that were taken, and I wanted to take an opportunity to share it with you and open up for any questions or conversations, discussions you may have.
Thank you, Tom, for coming in and for explaining it to us. And I do think, as we've talked as a board, I think that our residents are pretty understanding of the issues that your industry is facing and many industries are facing. So as long as the communication is there and they understand, you know, that, you know, things might be a little bit late and know exactly when their trash is going to be picked up at a later date, I think that our residents are pretty understanding about that. So I will open it up to questions from the board, if there's board members that have questions.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for coming in, Tom.
Sure.
I know you talked to me and probably everybody on the board recently, and we certainly appreciate, as Natalie said, that you're not alone in dealing with these challenges. From my perspective, I think if the communication can be more clear and more consistent, that would definitely help residents. So instead of every week, us trying to get something out on the website and out in an email, if there's sort of a generic statement that says, you know, if your trash is not picked up on your designated day, please leave it out another day, because waste management may be experiencing some delays. Because I think what frustrates people is that they put it out, they bring it in, then they see the truck, So there's just that not knowing. And then on our part, we can certainly encourage residents to make sure their information's updated so that when we do send out those neighborhood-specific robocalls,
right,
people are actually getting it. So I think it's just the not knowing that is a little maddening, but acknowledge that everyone's very understanding and, you know, I think willing to let it sit out there a day or two if they know that you're coming, but if no one's sure, then I think that's where
the trash and recycling could be a day or two, but, you know, quite honestly, the yard waste is much longer wait for us to capture that.
So if you want to, you know, craft something that it could be sort of a standing statement until things kind of get back on track,
right,
we can get that on the website, we can get it out in the e-news on Friday, and then those sort of neighborhood-specific issues, like let's say you're just not getting to Wednesday people at all, then we can handle that through the robocalls, you know, because that's going to be changing, you know, every week depending on holidays, weather, COVID, I mean, you named all the different reasons that are impacting you, so I think that might be helpful.
I would say also that I communicate with a lot of residents in the township, and for the most part, they've been very, very understanding. I've had some of my drivers and supervisors say to me that some of the drivers have been threatened out on routes. It isn't coming from this community. I can tell you that. I know that for sure. But, you know, these types of meetings I'm in front of, I've been meeting with a lot of municipal officials of late. So I love seeing you, but I'd rather be under different circumstances.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for coming out. I appreciate that. Point of discussion, you mentioned that the yard waste has not been picked up yet.
Correct.
Well, in my neighborhood it has. So you guys, later this afternoon, I saw your truck coming through picking up the yard waste. Just an FYI for you.
What day is your service though?
Tuesdays. Yeah, you guys were middle of the morning and later this afternoon it was all done.
Wow.
So I haven't...
Okay.
I understand what these guys have heard. They live in a different area. I do, and I'm assuming their folks get a hold of them. Nobody got a hold of me, so I'm assuming in the compact part of the village, there haven't been many problems. Although I have noticed that the waste bags sometimes do take a little longer, an extra day or two, or maybe into a following week. But just the discussion for you, when you said that the yard waste bags have not been picked up, in my area they have.
Wow.
So,
I'll have to do a little research on that. I was not aware that Tuesday got started, so
yeah,
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's
now we just all know we should bring our yard waste and garbage to Rick's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed a couple of days it's been a little slower, a day late, but I mean, it's for me, it's nothing to really complain about. So, and I haven't heard from anybody in my neighborhood.
Okay. Thanks.
So,
Go ahead. One more thought. I was just thinking, maybe you've already done this, but maybe even consider a stuffer in the bills, you know, to send out to people just to explain that, you know, due to a variety of circumstances that your pickup may be delayed. That way people kind of are getting the message if they're not subscribing to our e-news.
Yeah.
You know,
I
that's
just got my end up either.
I know.
So they just went out.
Yeah, they went out.
Yeah, that's
so October, November, and December, I hit the street maybe a couple weeks ago, but it's not a bad thought to put a stuffer in.
Hopefully, we won't still be dealing with it next year, next bill. That's
you asked them to update their phone numbers too, because apparently that was an issue too.
Pardon me?
Ask them to update their phone numbers in their building site, in their building.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a lot of times, I mean, our call center is instructed, and I'll see notes in our system on certain screen that you can go to. One of the first things they always do whenever someone does call in is get updated phone numbers and email addresses, but we could possibly put that in as well with the flyer, okay?
Mark. Hey, Tom, I'm sure folks appreciate you coming in front of the board just to explain. I think what we've heard is everyone just wants the communication. I'm one of the few, or not few, the 78% who do get the robocall, and I appreciate that because it spells out, hey, we'll be here the next day, so I think it's important that we try to get those folks, you know, to get you their phone numbers. But I would like to thank the folks on your staff who do show up. Because, Tom, on Friday at 3:30 in the morning, the truck came through. And at first I was upset, and then I thought, glad it's not me. Someone's getting the recycling right now, and I'm glad it's not me. And that guy's got to get up at 1 in the morning in order for him to come through. And then I got at 5:30, So I'm sure maybe some people were upset that there was a loud bang, but I sort of rolled over knowing that my garbage was picked up. So I would just like to thank the members of your staff who are showing up and working extra hours.
We sometimes forget about the loyal employees that you have to do it every day. We take them for granted sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm not very excited about 3 o'clock or 5:30. Well, 5:30 I think is the actual start time within the township, but we might move that to 5. It's 5 now. But
maybe I was mistaken, it was another truck. I was hoping it was the recycle truck. Either way, when I went out at 6:15, everything was gone. So thank you for whoever it was.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And I do have another meeting to go to, so. But not for this.
Well, thank you for coming and explaining.
I'm glad I was on the agenda.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to our next order of business. Consideration of tax assessment settlement stipulation for all NK Hershey LLC. Mr. Crispin and Mr. Armstrong, if you would please give us a background on this item.
Sure. Actually, items B and C are related to one another.
Are we going to take
them? So we take them individually.
Individually.
They're similar. So as the board is aware, each time that there's a tax reassessment done in Gary Township, the board is required, especially if a stipulation agreement is put into place, or is at least at the point where it would need to be accepted by all parties. That's why it's before you tonight. So in this case, all NK Hershey LLC, their property at 1200 Main Street, which is the Comfort Inn, they went in for an assessment change. They're currently assessed at $5,561,600. That assessment is being changed to a new value, at least for 2021, to $4,254,500, and that would result in a net refund to all NK Hershey LLC in the amount of $3,251.20. And next year, the net impact of the township, it will be reduced again to $4,084,800, and that total net impact is $3,673.30. At this point, both Dauphin County and the Gary Township School District have agreed to the stipulation agreement that's in the packet tonight. Our recommendation, and I will speak to Pat, would be that it's at a point now where this board should take action on it. Approve this stipulation agreement.
Yes, the only thing I'll add is if you notice, this is a company, so it's the hospitality industry, and the hospitality industry in the last year and a half has taken a hit. So you'll see a lot of these tax assessment deals going not only with Dauphin, all counties throughout the Commonwealth. And if you look at the stipulation, what they've done is they've approached it in a tier type scenario where there's a significant drop in the fair market value in the assessment the first year. But then slowly over the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years, it slowly climbs back up. And that's the way the industry, the county, and the school district in that case have determined would be the best way to address some of these deals. We understand that, yes, they did take a hit, but eventually they will start to back up. And one other important thing to note is part of the stipulation in the one that's next on the agenda, there is the ability for a reopener in the third year in the event that the township or the county or the school district feels that one of these or both of these properties are significantly increasing in value, you can proceed with the process to have the assessment reevaluated at that point.
Okay. Pat, the county and the school board have already approved these stipulations. We are the last taxing body approval in this on this item.
The county and the school district have both already approved the all NK Hershey property, which okay. is currently the next one, I know that the county has approved it. I'm not sure if the school district has approved that yet. But this one, the all in the Hershey, both the county and the school district have approved.
Sorry,
questions? And this would be, I'm sorry, this would just for purposes of record, this would be adopted under 2020-CB-10377-2.
Sorry. No, I was just curious. Second property might have been on their agenda last night. But they've been presented at this sort of as a package of another property. So
these have been presented by the county system to both the school district and the township. And I believe the school district's September 13th meeting approve all of the K or she stipulations.
So Pat, there's a chance that we'll get additional stipulations that will come before this board?
I wouldn't be surprised if you do get something.
Okay. Any additional questions?
Pat, one quick question. I think when we met in executive session about this, I had a question about whether ARP money is available to them. I think you were going to check that out or look into that.
If we were to try and get any of that information with respect to definitive information, we'd probably proceed with some kind of discovery in the case. And I haven't been authorized to move forward with any discovery, any request for production documents. So the answer to the question is, I don't think we have any definitive information as to whether or not this particular property owner or entity has received any ARP money. I would suspect that they have. The question is how much. We don't have any answer to that at this point.
Well, the idea behind this is to make them whole, right?
Well, the idea behind this is to, when you file a tax assessment appeal, you look at the value of the property. And so for purposes of all NK Hershey, the assessed value as of, I believe, 2020 was lower than 5.5 million. Whereas the assessed value as the property owner has appraisal for is 4.3. I understand what you're saying. It's not enough to make them whole. It's their cause of action and their further challenge with respect to what their property should be assessed at. Meaning, it's their position that their property value has significantly increased in the last year.
Okay, I haven't, in my 4 years on board, I have never seen these or anything like this before in reassessment.
So a tiered approach?
Yeah.
Yeah, the tiered approach is a novel idea by the folks.
Right, but I can only attribute this to the pandemic.
Right.
And them trying to recover lost cost. So I don't know that it's worth investigating if we're looking at a loss of $3,700 a year in that window. I don't know that it's worth it.
We would spend way more than that.
Right.
And I'm just... Before we even litigate it, and who knows if those monies could even...
Yeah, and just so the board's aware, you do get tax assessment appeals throughout the course of the year. They're usually not this significant. They're usually residential properties or maybe commercial properties. What makes this so significant, or not significant, but number one, it's pretty high value, but also the way that the accounting has proposed to resolve it, that tier approach is something that's somewhat novel. I think what's happened with the pandemic has kind of spurred this approach.
That was my assumption. All right, thanks for
your answer. Okay, with the questions asked and answered, is there a motion to approve this tax assessment settlement stipulation agreement?
I'm going to make a motion to approve the tax assessment settlement stipulation agreement with All in K Hershey LLC, located at 1200 May Street, tax ID parcel number 24029004.
Motion made by Supervisor Ford. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Supervisor Sabuda seconds. And is there any further discussion or questions? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to the next very similar agenda item, consideration of tax assessment settlement stipulation for Hershey Vacations Unlimited Financial Service. Mr. Chrisman and Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as you noted at the outset of the first one, this second stipulation agreement involves Hershey Vacations Unlimited for their property located at 176 East Hershey Park Drive, which is the Blue Green Vacation Suites. As we have noted, Dauphin County has already approved the stipulation agreement. We think the Dairy Township School District is taking that under consideration as well. In terms of its current assessment, it's currently assessed at $4,574,700. Should the board approve the stipulation agreement tonight, 2021, the new assessed value would be $3,111,500 with a net impact or refund to Hershey Vacations Unlimited of $3,639.47 moving forward in 2022. The new assessed value would be $3,700,400 with a net impact to the township of $3,721.80. Again, it's very similar. It's the tiered approach, again, in this agreement. So it's in a position tonight for the board to consider it and to approve.
Okay, are there any questions about this agenda?
Other than the fact this board hasn't approved this, is there anything unique about this one compared to the last one?
No, it's a different property. It's vacation streets over at 176 East Hershey Park. The values are different, but the base of the county and the appellant have negotiated and proceeded the preparation of the stipulation. But I'm not aware of anything that would jammed up at the stipulation.
Well, with that, I will offer a motion to approve the tax assessment settlement stipulation agreement with Hershey Vacation Unlimited for the property located at 176 East Hershey Park Drive, tax ID parcel number 24-004-035. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Supervisor Sabrina. Seconded. Is there any additional discussion or questions?
I would just note that it's under docket number 2020-CV-9635-TI.
All in favor of approving the tax assessment stipulation agreement? Please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the next agenda item, letter D, presentation of the 2022 MMO, or minimum municipal obligation for the non-uniformed and police pension plans. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I don't see Cheryl here tonight.
No, she is not here tonight, so I'm met this on her behalf. As you are aware, Act 205 does require that we notify the Board of Supervisors as to what the annual minimum municipal obligation will be for the pension plans. So the projected, and there's no action needed by the Board tonight, this is simply a notification to you. These numbers will appear then in the 2022 budget as part of our overall pension obligation. The projected 2022 minimum municipal obligation for the non-uniform pension plan and the police pension plan is as follows, $397,778 and $563,658 respectively, for a combined total of $961,436. This calculation is based on the estimated wages to be paid during 2021. As indicated on the attached worksheets, her best estimate was based on actual wages paid through September 2021 and expected wages to be paid for the remainder of 2021. Although the township is required to prepare this 2022 MMO projection without consideration of the state casualty insurance reimbursement, this offset is estimated as approximately $620,000. If received, this reimbursement will make the actual cost of both funding, will make the actual cost of funding both pensions equal to approximately $341,436. These total payments would be due by December 31, 2022.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. So basically, looking at this, we're just starting to set the table for the 2022 Dairy Township budget.
That's right. Okay. So this is specifically for our pension plan. So this sets that minimum municipal obligation that we have to pay to make sure that there's funding available to keep the plan solved. So that's what this is.
Yeah, Mr. Supervisor, questions? No. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the consideration of an appointment to the Dairy Township Shade Tree Commission. Mr. President.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As noted, there is a current vacancy on the Dairy Township Shade Tree Commission. We have an interested resident, Lou Verdelli, is interested in being appointed to fill the unexpired term of Fred Wilcox. That term would expire December 31, 2022. The board would approve that this evening. So it is in a position for action tonight. So
I think we all on the board know Mr. Verdelli, and he is a former Dairy Township active work with beautification and preservation as with his service on the Historical Society, and I personally think he'd be an excellent addition to the Shade Tree Commission. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I completely agree with
you. Okay,
great question.
Okay.
Was this advertised when we knew we had the opening? Was it put out? I'm just thinking back to, there were many residents from the Board of the Shade Tree Commission who were interested in participating, and we didn't have the room for all of them. So yes. I was just curious. I mean, I have no doubt they would do an extraordinary job. I'm just curious about the process.
I will say there wasn't a separate advertisement for this particular vacancy, but we did advertise in the beginning of the year to accept resumes throughout the year for vacancies as they occur on the boards. So I mean, we can certainly, if the board's inclined, we can go back and re-advertise for this position.
So he had applied in advance to be on Shade Tree,
yes.
And then his opening came?
Yes.
Okay.
When does the term end?
12/31/2022. So next December.
Next year.
1 year term.
It's a 1 year term. It's filling out the remainder of the existing term.
Thanks. Any additional comment? Well, I will make a motion to appoint Louis Rodelli to the Derry Township Shade Tree Commission with a term expiring on December 31st, 2022.
I'll second.
Okay, any additional questions or comments? No? Okay. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay, next, letter number F, consideration of a proclamation honoring Dr. Frank Batista.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is one of the few times that we have one of the nicest things that we can do as a board, and you know, honoring a resident, particularly Dr. Frank Batista, for his many years of service as a physician in our community. He's retiring from medical practice after 43 years of service, which I think is an incredible milestone. Supervisor Wyckoff brought this to our attention. So in your packet tonight is a proclamation honoring those years of service with some background that he's provided. And I don't want to say too much, Carter, if you have things you want to mention about Dr. Batista.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure all of us know Dr. Batista. He was, gosh, our family doctor since I was a young man when they had their offices on 743, I guess, Fishburne there. And when I heard that he was retiring, I just thought this was a natural way for us to recognize all that he has done for the community and for residents over all these years. I believe today is his last day to practice, the 28th, so this is very fitting. So I would just ask that everyone come along with me here on this and honoring Dr. Batista. But as I said, I'm sure you all have known him and seen him walking around in town, and he's had an impact on so many people. So thank you for the opportunity.
Carter, would you like to make, is there any questions or comments?
No.
Carter, would you like to make the motion?
Sure, thank you. I would like to move that we approve the proclamation honoring the career of Dr. Frank Batista.
I'll second that. Board members in favor of this proclamation, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No? Okay. And the motion passes. The proclamation passes. Okay. Moving on to G, consideration of resolution number 2021-08, authorizing the adoption of the 2021 update to the Dauphin County All Hazard Mitigation Plan. Lieutenant Bush.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As stated, your consideration for adoption of resolution 2021-18, in turn adopting the Dauphin County Hazard Mitigation Plan, is requested. As way of background, each municipality and each state by federal law is required to adopt a hazard mitigation plan every 5 years. I hate to say this, this is my third request, so I feel like I'm getting old. Nonetheless, Dauphin County embarks in the development of the plan every 5 years. They contract services to a third party who does a lot of the research and development. I can say the past year I've actively participated in all the surveys, provide our historical data, multiple natural and man-made disasters here, or potential disasters here in the township. They in turn incorporate that. They also do a citizen survey of our residents, which we have completed earlier this year by way of the township being news, and we did a petition on our residents for their input. The hazard mitigation plan right now at the county level has been forwarded to PEMA for their review. In the meantime, Dauphin County has asked all municipalities that are participating, and I can tell you that all but five municipalities in Dauphin County are participating in adopting a county-wide plan. So I stand before you tonight asking for your consideration and adoption of this resolution.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant Roshan. I think I can speak on behalf of the entire board that we are so fortunate to have your leadership and all that you've done to help us through so many big issues here in Dare Township. So I know it's just paving the way just in case the worst happens, that this township is ready and that you and your team are ready to help all of our residents.
Thank you.
So are there any
One more input for the hazard mitigation plan. It is important to note, in order to qualify for both mitigation and recovery funds through the federal government, the plan has to be adopted by the municipality. So just forward to apply that in my initial briefing.
Okay. Questions or comments? Okay.
Thank you.
Is there someone that would like to make a motion to resolve 2021-18, authorizing the adoption of the 2021 update to the Dauphin County Hazard Mitigation Plan?
I'd like to make a motion to authorize resolution 2021-18, the adoption of the 2021 update to the Dauphin County Hazard Mitigation Plan.
Moved by Supervisor Zamuda. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Supervisor Court. Is there any additional comment or discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the next agenda item, H, which was on the public agenda, that's been taken off, correct? Because all of the issues with the Milton Hershey Carpentry and Welding Center have been resolved?
All outstanding items have been addressed, okay. Yes.
So H has already been taken care of. Moving on to letter I, the traffic signal agreement associated with the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Catherine Hershey School for Early Learning, Plat 1332. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On July 27th of this year, the Board of Supervisors conditionally approved the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for the Catherine Hershey School for Early Learning. As part of that development, Milton Hershey School is doing improvements to the traffic signal at the intersection of Governor Road and Homestead Road, which will include ADA ramps and replacement of some obsolete pedestrian signaling equipment. As is common with PennDOT, the township must be the applicant on traffic signal permits, so therefore it'll be necessary for us to move that project forward to sign the PennDOT form TE-160 and also ultimately to sign the plans. As has been done in the past with the township, we enter into an agreement with the developer that lays out that they will do the work in a workmanlike manner and also pay all the costs for the design, construction, and installation of the improvements and securing the cost of the improvements with either PennDOT or the township. The agreement also requires Milton Hershey School to reimburse the township for any costs associated with the improvements and to indemnify, defend, and hold harmless the township and its professional consultants from all suits. The agreement has been included in your packet. It is still missing the escrow amount to be posted with the township. However, this evening I'm asking that the before I go there, I will also mention that HRG has reviewed the design documents and all of their engineering comments have been addressed. I'm looking this evening for authorization for the chairman to sign the traffic signal agreement once we fill in the blank, and for me to sign the traffic signal application and associated documents.
Okay. Is there any questions? Hearing none, I will move that Christopher Abruzzo is authorized to sign the traffic signal agreement with Charles W. Emmerich Jr. Is also authorized to sign the traffic signal application and associated documents. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Supervisor Zamuda. Is there any questions or discussion?
Just one point. She's chair tonight. Is Mr. Abruzzo your authorization?
You're authorized to sign. All right, all those in favor, please vote aye. Okay, moving on to J, the future development agreement and return of performance security provided for lots 4 and 5 of the preliminary final subdivision plan for Woodland Hills Plat 1203. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Since this plan was approved by the supervisors in 2014, I thought it'd be nice to show a picture of it to remind you what was approved. The plan depicted a 15-acre tract at the ends of Woodland Avenue and Hillside Avenue that was subdivided into 5 new building lots. Since that time, all lots have been sold. The township is still holding $76,855.39 of performance security posted by the developers at our station partners. To let you know where that security is earmarked for, lot number one, which is the area I'm indicating on the screen, has been completed and there's no security held on that. Lot number two is presently under construction. We are holding $10,952.37 of that total amount towards lot number two. Lot number three is in the processes of obtaining a building permit, and we are holding $11,746.79 for that lot. And in each of those cases, it has to do with line swales and stormwater infiltration trenches and final top seeding and topsoil seeding mulch. We're also holding $28,824.29 in public improvements over the road. That includes inlet protection, sidewalks, ramps, street trees, final paving. The two items that are before the board this evening is lot number four and lot number five. These two lots were purchased by Federici's in 2019. Lot number four, we're holding $11,811.62, and lot number five, we're holding $13,520.32. When the Federici's purchased these two lots, they also purchased approximately 10 acres of adjacent land and cobbled them together. There was a plan that was processed through the township, and are presently building a home on that lot. The Federici's have no immediate plans to build on lots 4 or 5. As a result, Sodera Station Partners is looking to be released from the performance security of $25,331.94 and the obligation to construct the required improvements on lot 4 and 5. I discussed this request with Pat, and who suggested an agreement between the township, Sodera Station Partners, and the Federici's could be drafted that would allow the release of the performance security for lots 4 and 5. That agreement would also bind the Federici's or any future owner of the property to certain obligations if they choose to build on the lots. And at a minimum, I've listed in my agenda item what those obligations would be. They would continue responsibility to maintain, operate, the stormwater basin that actually is in one of those lots that serves some of the property. They would be required to, at the time of any future build, obtain all necessary township, county, state, and federal permits that, in accordance with the codes that would be in effect at that time. They'd also be required to repost financial security for the stormwater management facilities, which is what we're looking at releasing here. Those stormwater management facilities would be at that time then approved and constructed under our current stormwater ordinance, which, by the way, this entire development is not under our 2010 stormwater ordinance. Although it was approved in 2014, the approval process started just before we adopted that ordinance. So it will at least bring these two lots up to our current standards by releasing the monies now and, you know, deferring the stormwater design for any future build. There was a waiver on this development because of the very, very rural wooded nature of providing streetlights. So the developer requested and the Board of Supervisors granted that streetlights would not be required in this development. However, the developer offered in lieu of streetlights a post and light at the end of each driveway. There is one of those missing, and that obligation would remain if they would go to build on these lots. And finally, the future development of lots 4 and 5 would be required to maintain the limit of disturbances depicted on this plan. For those of you that were on the board back when this plan was approved, the developer, in trying to show the spectacular views from this lot, over deforested it. And we actually had him come back and put in quite a few replacement trees. So in my mind, and in the supervisor's mind, the limited disturbance on these lots is somewhat sacred, and I'd like to carry that in any future agreement. So Sudara Station Partners had contacted the Federici's that they have no objection to this deferment, and of course they will be party of any agreement, so that would be that's something that they would sign off on. Assuming the board desires to move forward with this request, the next step would be to have Pat draft the agreement, and then have Sudara Station Partners and the Federici's, along with the Township Bowen, enter into that agreement. We presently have a contract for professional services for reimbursement of Pat's time with Sudara Station Partners. So for the benefits that I think we'll get out of this, and not knowing when or if lots 4 and 5 will be built upon, I'm recommending that the board authorizes Pat Armstrong to draft an agreement between the Township, Sudara Station Partners, and the Federici's to release Sudara Station Partners from the performance security related to lots 4 and 5 as depicted on plat 1203, and to bind the Federici's and any future owner of the lots 4 or 5 to certain obligations related to continued ownership and future improvements of either lot. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Armand. So I guess my question is, the last 4 and 5, if they were to be developed at some point in the future, they're now pulled out of this plan and would have their own brand new plan that would come through the township for development that would have to meet the guidelines that you just discussed.
So this plan created the lots. So the lots will withstand time now. The lots exist there. What we're actually releasing them from today is the financial security to build the stormwater improvements per this plan. I can tell you that lot number 1 was built per the plan. Lot number 2, there were some minor modifications that we did through a construction modification. Lot number 3, there were some minor modifications that we did through a construction modification. However, in each of those cases, because of the standing of the plan, the stormwater modifications were based on our old stormwater ordinance. What this will allow us to do is to release them from the obligation today, from holding the money. However, our stormwater ordinance, freestanding alone, for a vacant lot in Derry Township, will require stormwater management facilities and posting of security. So we'd be looking at releasing the security now and re-engaging a new design with new security prior to any future construction on the lot.
Right. The document I anticipate putting together is going to be very similar to a deferred declaration of covenants for deferred improvements, but with the additional caveat that if there are more restrictive or more intensive requirements at the time, that in the future, if and when they do decide to develop the properties, they have to comply with those then current requirements. The gist of this is that you have a 5-lot subdivision from so many years ago. Subdivider put up a number of securities for each of the lots. 2 of the lots were purchased, but they're not intended to be improved at this time. So the subdivider, the developer, is just asking to be released, for us to release the securities associated with those 2 lots alone. And in order to do that, we're just looking for, we would need a declaration to be recorded against those 2 properties to ensure that those improvements or more restrictive improvements are complied with at the time that they do decide to develop the properties. This isn't something that we're asking for. They're asking for you to approve it, so it's before you further consideration. The only thing I would add is just to confirm that none of the improvements that the security that they're requesting to be released has any impact or any benefit to the neighboring lots, meaning these improvements are specific and solely for lots 4 and 5. That's all I would add to that.
And that is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Because what you don't want to do is have deferred improvement is on this lot, but it's benefiting a neighboring lot. And that's not what is being requested.
That's great.
Are there any other questions or comments? just ready for the motion if someone would like to offer one.
I'm going to make the motion that the board authorize Pat Armstrong to draft an agreement between the township and the solar station partners and the federation's care of these solar station partners from the performance security related to lots 4 and 5 is depicted on plateau 1233 and to bind the federation's name and future owner of lot 4 and lot 5 to certain obligations related to continued ownership and future improvements for either lot.
Motion made by Supervisor Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Supervisor Cervuta. Any additional comment or discussion? Nope. Hearing none. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion passes. Okay, next agenda item is consideration of qualifications committee to recommend a Derry Township transportation engineer. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you. In 2010, Derry Township appointed HRG as its transportation engineer following the appropriate PennDOT procedures. For the purpose of certain funding, the designation of transportation engineer for the township is valid for a period of not more than 5 years, and obviously we're past that time now. It is therefore necessary for us to again obtain the services of a PennDOT qualified transportation engineer in order to comply with the requirements for road projects that will be funded through state and federal monies. I'm going off script from my agenda item, but we have two paths that we can go. For each project that is bid and is ready to build, we can go through a competitive process and hire a transportation engineer project by project. In 2010, we chose to hire a municipal transportation engineer that we could assign to any of those projects. I'm recommending we do that again.
Seems like it might be the easiest for consistency.
Yes. So as was done last time, the township selected a municipal transportation engineer. We'd be using the modified selection process, which is a PennDOT process. The first step in the process is to receive approval from PennDOT for the consultant protection selection process, which they have a scripted path, which is in my draft resolution that I'm not looking for any action on this evening. Part of that resolution names the qualifications of committee members, the names and qualifications of committee members who are tasked with reviewing and ranking all applications. That's really the reason for this agenda item. The titles and committee members generally remain the same from 2010. However, some of the names have changed. I'm recommending that Chris Christman, the township manager, be on that committee, that Tom Clark, the public works director, be on that committee, that Zach Jackson, park and rec director, be on that committee, that I be on that committee, and that Marie Sirkat be also on that committee. I've not committed to any of that because, of course, one of the supervisors or two could also join that committee. I'm just suggesting that we do it as in 2010. Once PennDOT's approved the process for the selection, then we'll need to go through the other steps outlined in the spreadsheet that I have included with this agenda item in the selection of the transportation engineer. So I'm making the recommendation that the board appoints the people as I mentioned.
And Mr. Emmerich, this resolution, or the motion that we would be looking at tonight, is just to establish this committee. The committee looks at the engineers, that group of professionals looks at it, and then brings it to the board later so that the board then decides.
That's correct.
So, okay. Is there any questions or comments from Mr. Emmerich?
I think it might be a good idea to have a supervisor on that board.
Is that something that we deal with this evening, or can they be added at a later date if there's someone with an interest?
Because my next step is to get the resolution approved by PennDOT before it's adopted here, I would like the names this evening.
So
otherwise,
so if somebody wants to volunteer to do that, you can just add that to the motion.
That's correct.
Well, would it be advantageous to have the chair be on that committee?
Should we add him while he's not here? Guess what?
We volunteer.
Time I'm on vacation.
Well, this is another meeting.
Well, I mean, Chuck, not to volunteer people, but people who served on the transportation committee perhaps might also
be a benefit on this selection committee as well.
That's true.
Right. So maybe it has to be Chris necessarily.
I was not trying to name any of my bosses to be on the committee. I was just trying to follow what we did in 2010.
But the board does have final say over...
In the selection.
Over the selection, and after this group of professionals puts together a list.
I'm sorry, I meant any of my bosses except for Chris.
So we do get to have a look at what the group has put together, and...
Yes.
I know I'm comfortable with that.
I am too. This is pretty matter of fact, and just like something you have to do every so many years.
And this is a great group of... Everyone's a professional in what they do, and I think that... You know, the folks that you named will do a great job in putting together a great group of folks that we can review and approve. Okay, well then I will offer a motion that the board appoints Christopher Christman, Township Manager, Tom Clark, Public Works Director, Zachary Jackson, Parks and Recreation Director, Charles Emmerich, Community Development Director, and Marie Sircott, Administrative Assistant to the Qualifications Committee to make recommendations for Township Transportation Engineer. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Any additional questions or discussion? No? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, down to L, acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management site plan for 50 Laurel Ridge Road, S-2021-017. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This stormwater management facility is for a new dwelling at 50 Laurel Ridge Road. The applicant property owners are Daniel and Leanne Loria. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $8,040 is to be provided. The applicants have provided this security in the form of cash and have entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee completion of improvements required by a stormwater management site plan and report. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept the financial security and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Daniel and Leanna Loria for the stormwater management site plan for 50 Laurel Ridge Road, S-2021-017.
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts cash financial security in the amount of $8,040 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security with Daniel and Leanna Loria for the stormwater management site plan for 50 Laurel Ridge Road, S-2021-17.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Supervisor Court. Any additional questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, motion passes. Okay, and that brings us to the end of our new business agenda and to the supervisor board and committee reports. So, as traditional, we'll start with Supervisor Zamuda, go to Supervisor Court, Supervisor Wyckoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a busy past couple of days. Monday, Mr. Wyckoff and I met with the developers of Governor Crossing to continue our discussions on their development up there. In the evening, I had a downtown core design board. Susan and I had a downtown core design board meeting to discuss a signage change and a trash disposal receptacles on Chocolate Avenue. This morning at a transportation committee meeting, with Ms. Nutt, and among the plethora of specific issues, one of the ones that would concern the public were the pedestrian safety mitigation efforts at Valley and Chocolate and Cove and Brook. We're still trying to get those done as soon as possible because we know how important they are to the community. And finally, at the beginning of our transportation meeting, I went on to thank the Hershey Entertainment and Resorts for listening to the township's concerns concerning traffic issues and noise issues for the concerts, for the summer concert series. They did a really good job. We're going to keep that open. If we come up with any new mitigation efforts, we will continue that discussion so it doesn't stop here. And
That's all I got.
Thank you.
Supervisor Clark. Just a couple quick things. As Rick mentioned, we had the Downtown Design Review Board meeting last night, and in addition to that, I've been working along with Rick on lots of things related to the Downtown Hershey Association, along with Chuck and many others. And we continue to look for an executive director. That position remains unfilled, and the organization is being run by all volunteers right now. So we're looking forward to concluding the year the market has ended, and that was very successful. And Chalktoberfest is coming up on October 16th, which will be a nice return to that event after a year off, and a holiday celebration again at the end of the year. So we're hoping with that, along with Rick and Chuck. And then the other thing I'm going to mention, and then for those who don't know, the two supervisors have traditionally sat on the Downtown Hershey Association Board. In addition to that, the Hershey Area All Things Diversity, a committee that I serve in through my role as a supervisor, is planning its next event on October the 14th, that's right. And it's to wrap up Hispanic Heritage Month, and we have Dr. Hector Ortiz, who's going to be speaking to people. This is free and open to the community, just so everyone can just have a better understanding, be more educated, more enlightened, and also more welcoming. That, and I've been spending a lot of time working on the Community Center Capital Campaign, doing some wrap-up, a lot of administrative work on that. So that's it for tonight.
Thank you. As Rick mentioned, we have the sketch plan committee. I just think take a second to thank Chuck for putting that together. I think it's invaluable for us and for the developers. And thank you, Chrisman and Pat, for attending those meetings. I'm learning a lot, and I always look around saying, like, am I doing this right? And Rick has been great, and it's really very interesting, and I think it will have impacts when folks then come in front of the board with their requests. DTMA met on Monday night, but I will defer to a fellow board member on DTMA, Chris Chrisman, as it is his turn to provide the update. That's all I have this evening.
So real quickly, the DTMA board did meet last night, and Bill Rakoff gave us a great update on all of the projects that are going on throughout the authority. As noted, with a lot of other things that Tom Stang mentioned tonight, with the impact of COVID, all of the construction projects that the authority is undertaking at the moment have been impacted by those delays. But while it has slowed down some of those projects, he is very pleased with the outcome of what's being proposed and what they're doing on site right now. The quality of the work has been very good. Mike Callahan did also do some stormwater updates as far as where he is with his planning. Additionally, the board discussed some capital project funding for next year, and as well as a delinquent collector for delinquent payments to the authority. So Portnoy was approved last night to be the authority's delinquent collector for missed rates. And lastly, the board did approve a new reorg plan for the employees at the authority. It was a process that was probably underway for the last year and a half or so. It finally came to fruition. It's done. I think it's a great plan, and I'm very happy that Bill has really picked up the leadership role, you know, kind of moving into that new position really quickly and kind of finishing out all these things. So that's all I have from the DTMA standpoint, Carter, if I missed anything, very quick.
As far as my committee reports, I sit on the Transportation Committee with Supervisor Smuda, who gave an excellent report on what we tackled this morning. We have not met at the library because we are welcoming our new library director. So we will meet again later this year once she has her sea legs under her. So welcome, Allison. It's so great that you are here for your first week. A big welcome to you. And I did want to make a mention. I see that Mr. Jackson is not here today, but I know a lot of folks that have asked, probably all of us, about Trick or Treat Night. And I know back in, I think it was 2019, the board made the bold and very good move, I think, to make Halloween on Halloween. So for those of you that don't know, Trick or Treat is on real Halloween, and this year it's Sunday, October 31st. So just wanted to make that mention. Didn't want to steal Zach's thunder, but he's not here, so that's on the record.
Now I'm wondering, though, Garth, did we approve that? Or do we even not have, we don't ever have to do that again?
No, it was, okay. It was done.
Yeah, no, I thought that covered it, but I just.
Oh, I know.
And in that resolution, it was decided that.
Right, I remember that.
It would be that way until somebody else.
I didn't know, we always had to just mention the date or something, so.
The time of the event, 6 to 8 p.m.
Real trick or treat, I love it. Okay, so moving on to departmental reports, and first up with the police department, Chief Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only thing I have for tonight is, as the board knows, probably one of, only a couple of dozen departments that are duly accredited through Pennsylvania and the international accreditation, the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies. That accrediting body went to a new format after our previous accreditation period, where we now are accredited every 4 years. What they do is every year they take 25% of our policies and review them, go over them, and make any recommendation for changes. This year was our fourth year for this process, and so we are in the midst of getting ready for a virtual on-site assessment by the body, the accrediting body. They will be virtually assessing us October 12th through the 14th. So we will have interviews set up with them virtually, video tours of the facility and equipment in order to maintain our accreditation. Part of that is a public comment session. That will be done. We're not quite sure of the exact intricacies of that, but I know part of it will be done by telephone. There will be your phone number that residents can call into, key people within the community can call into, and have their public comments recorded with the assessment team. We will put that information out via the e-news, social media postings and so forth, so people will have the time periods and the date that they can make those public comments.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate that, Department, Mr. Sassman.
I have nothing for this evening, thank you.
Thank you. Public Works, Mr. Clark.
I have nothing to know, Madam Chair, thank you.
And the library, welcome, Ms. Troutman.
Turn it on.
Second day, and I'm still here.
Tracy Brown, 319 Park Avenue. I believe you received an email from me today about the Black Vulture issue. It is becoming untenable at this point. There is about a dozen homes being besieged by over 1,000 black buzzards. They're ripping apart the shingles on our roofs, destroying our chimneys, and they are protected wildlife, meaning we cannot bother them. We can't shoot them with BB guns. We can't, you know, do anything more than create noise or squirt them with a hose, which they move right out of the hose path. The USDA has been involved, and their hands are tied as well, somewhat. They can only remove 200, I believe 200 is the number, from the state of Pennsylvania annually. And they reached that number in February. It is September, our homes are being dive bombed, the animals at the zoo are being dive bombed, I have neighbors with tarps on their roofs. This is unacceptable. And it's also unacceptable for us not to get help. So I'm asking again for the township supervisors to advocate on our behalf with the federal government to get us some relief. I've done my part, I've made noise, I've sent you videos where we make excessive noise. It is not doing anything. The remedies that have been suggested by USDA is persistent pyrotechnics. That's out of my pay scale. I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. I'm not permitted to do that. They say persistent noise and pestering at that level is what's going to remedy the issue, at least in other neighboring communities that have been besieged by these birds. They are not an endangered species. They are protected. So I need help. We need help. I've sent you videos. I've sent you pictures. There's extensive damage. And the damage is not covered by homeowners insurance or car insurance. So unless you guys are going to start a GoFundMe and raise lots of money like you do for the community center, I really suggest that you become a stakeholder in this. Thank you.
May I ask a question, Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
You don't want to go answer. Tracy, thank you for coming and thank you for keeping us posted. I think we all sort of feel that we want to help and don't know how to help. Can you talk a little bit about your conversations you had with HNR? Because you mentioned that it's in the zoo. So what's their position? What have they done? I mean, it'd be helpful. We don't know what to do, I guess, so it'd be helpful to know what you've done so far.
So I have talked to the zoo. They're equally frustrated. They can't do the same things that we can't do. They can't harm the animals. They have to rely on the USDA. They have to contract with the USDA to remove these animals. When they pester the animals, they go from the zoo to our homes. They're dive bombing the zoo animals. They're attacking the bears. This has been witnessed. I've even read it in some of the tourist groups, the Hershey Park Connoisseurs group, that they're complaining that, those vultures are awful. They're scary. They're frightening. So they're equally frustrated. I know they had to replace their roofs there. They've had to move the bears indoors on different occasions. So I don't know. I kind of had a long conversation with Dale Snyder asking him if the zoo is a food source. Are they coming there for food? They're not. The only carnivores that are open in that area are the bears and the wolves. There's only two bears and there's only a handful of wolves. There's no way that their food source will feed over 1,000 birds like that. There's no way. There's no way. And they're not feeding on the animals there. The USDA has put like tags on these birds, and they're feeding miles and miles away, and then they come back to that area to roost. They're hanging out there. And I can only go out there with a bullhorn or a whistle and pots and pans so many times, and it doesn't do anything. I sent you a video of me blowing a whistle on their face, and they just look at me.
So aside from talking to the zoo, though, have you talked to anybody else at HNR? I'm thinking that could be something that we could do. Like, I'm thinking if you talked, or maybe Chris, you have, I don't know.
Chris has talked to HNR, and I think that you also reached out to the USDA as well. To try to get some sort of help. And I know what you're talking about, there's federal legislation that's 100 years old that protects these birds.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately thought of our situation here in Marietta on September 4th, when the Pennsylvania Game Commission made an honorary vulture day. So it's definitely, you are up against it because there are so many protections on these birds, and we're not the only community that is having this issue. It's happening in Marietta, it's happening over on the West Shore, and it's definitely an issue. And I know Chris has tried very hard contacting the USDA, working with agencies at this point. We're facing the same issues that you are as a homeowner.
Yeah.
And trying to get, we can't do anything else either as a township to kill them or go out and shoot them or whatever.
Well, one of the suggestions that I heard from an officer with the USDA is the persistent, like, pyrotechnics or firecrackers or something that is more alarming than a bullhorn and pots and pans. can't do that. I need help. I can't do fireworks every day out there on a, you know, on schedule to pester them, especially if they're going to the zoo, then they're coming up here. There has to be some sort of coordinated effort between the neighbors, the zoo, the township, because they're on the silos too. They're all in that area. So I need relief.
And maybe even federal legislation.
Yeah.
To change.
Wow, that's going to take a while. So, I've lived in my home for 21 years, right. And the past 3 years have been unbearable,
right,
with this situation. The population is growing exponentially.
Chris, could you just chip in on where things were left off with your efforts? I've forgotten that you've done some work on that before.
So when I initially reached out to Jason White at HNR, they discussed all of the mitigation efforts that Tracy has already mentioned that they're doing. I asked for contact information from them of who they've been dealing with at USDA. I followed up with those contacts, and they sent me the same things that they sent to Tracy and gave me the same answer that, you know, they're protected species and that there's only so much that we can do. And again, we don't locally have the resources that, to deal with it. I mean, the same issue she's running into to run afoul of the law, we would as well. Short of federal legislation changing, you know, that's sort of above and beyond our call of duty at this point. You know, the best we can hope for is to talk to, you know, Congressman Perry's office and see if there's movement there, if they could sponsor some kind of legislation. You know, I mean, that's the only avenue we can travel, is to talk to our congressperson.
And to do that, would that come from you? Would that come from our state rep to go to Congressman Perry? I mean,
we can send something on behalf of the township, yes, most certainly.
Okay. I just, in talking to the officer with USDA, they did say that they could come out and do some of this stuff, but they have to be contracted. So that was Nathan Beard. So he said that they can come out, but they have to be contracted to come out and do the pestering. So I don't know if that's something you can do.
Or we get first on the list next year when there are 250 are said to be removed.
Right. But that's for the whole entire state, right, of Pennsylvania. And by then, who knows what the population's going to be and if that's going to make a difference. So, thank you.
Chris, do you know how in depth the park went, or the DEP, or anybody went to finding out why they find that area attractive to roosting?
I mean, they are, you know, they're scavengers.
Like, there's nothing to scavenge there.
But they look,
so
there's,
why
a,
are they roost?
There's a food source there. So they're looking for food. You know, they're going to sit there and look to see if animals die. They're going to go pick it up. They see the animals are being fed. It's a natural draw to have.
But we've just heard that the zoo has concluded that they're not there for the food source. And if that were the case, that the zoo could take.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's my own opinion. But so.
Well, I don't either. You could ask the park if they've taken action to.
I mean,
hide
I know
the food,
I mean,
or put it under some kind of cover, or feed them indoors, or instead of.
Jason has assured me that they have done everything that they can do to try to mitigate the problem from their end. I mean, I don't know what else to do to encourage them to move on. You know, I mean,
to ask specific questions what they've done.
I think they, didn't they say they had lasers?
Well, they've hung the birds in effigy.
Yeah.
I've seen those. They don't seem to do any good anymore.
Maybe an idea would be to contact Garrett Galley at HNR and see if together, and maybe with John DeSanto and Tom Mahaffey, there could be a jointly authored letter that could go to Congressman Perry, just to show some, I don't know, some unity and a little bit of strength with all of the entities.
To what end?
To make sure he's aware of it, first of all, and okay. see if there's anything that he could do at a federal level, if it is a federal thing and not a state.
Well, they're federally protected, so I would think perhaps to Congressman Smucker, Marietta's having this issue too.
Midwest to down south. So this is all over the country.
Maybe it's not the legislation that changed.
It could be.
Well, thank you, Chris, for whatever you can do.
We do want to keep in mind that do serve a purpose. If it weren't for birds of prey, birds of scavengers, like any day of the disease.
Right.
So,
not a thousand of them.
Well, no, I'm just saying we have to be careful.
I'm not asking for them to be killed. I'm asking for them to move on.
Right. I get that. But we just need to be aware that they serve a purpose. And complete eradication is not the answer. So there's got to be a little room in there somewhere.
Is there anyone else that would like to offer a public comment this evening? Okay. Seeing no additional residents, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
I will make a motion.
Okay, so moved. Is there a second?
Supervisor
Report, all in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Thank you. Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.